This is John Walden. In our studies in Galatians, we've come now to the closing verses, chapter 6, and at verse 11, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand, Paul says. The word for large letter here is the word for uncials, or inch-high capital letters. Now, we don't know why he said this. Quite possible, though, that because of his bad eyesight, it was necessary for him to use these large capital letters, not having anyone with him at the time who could take the dictation, who could write the letters, as was the case with many of the other epistles. In any case, he shows his urgency, how important it is to get this message to them. And the reason for this, he explains in the close of this chapter. He wants them to know the difference between his genuine love for them and the insincerity of these Judaizers, these teachers of the law. He says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. These people who had brought law-keeping to the Gentile Christians of Galatia, who were insisting that they must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, these people, he says, were only looking for an opportunity to avoid persecution. They wanted to remain as a sect of the Jewish religion and thus escape the persecution that had come on the Lord Jesus and on all his followers. These people gloried in man. They wanted a large following. They wanted popular religion. And let me tell you, all the Judaizers aren't dead. There are a great many today who would do anything they could to avoid persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, persecution for the cross of Christ means that you and I take the stand that our Lord himself took. He went to the cross. He died for our sakes. And this was the will of his Father. And God's will for us is that we, too, should recognize that we came to an end at the cross. This is brought out further in verse 14. But these people who compelled the Galatians to be circumcised, he said these people don't keep the law. That is, they have no desire to do what is really right, but they're doing this simply that they may glory in your flesh. They wanted to glory in a following. They wanted to glory in earthly accomplishments. They wanted to glory in earthly religion. But, he says in verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ means that we not only glory in what he did for us on the cross, but in what was done to us at the cross. According to Romans chapter 6 and the second chapter in verse 20 of this same epistle, we have been crucified with Christ. That is, God counted the death of his Son as though you and I were put to death there with him. Not only did he bear our sins in his own body on the tree and die to put away our sins, but in his dying, God counted us to have been put away. That means that when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and I become a child of God, all that I was as a child of Adam, all that I was as a man in the flesh, came to an end. Now, this is not an experience. We're not to try to feel dead or play dead or pretend that we're dead. We're simply to realize that so far as God is concerned, there wasn't anything in my old life that he could use. And so I came to an end at the cross. But not only that, the world came to an end for me. People talk about the end of the world, but let me tell you that for a true believer, the world has already come to an end. When he accepts Christ as his Savior, he realizes that he is no longer a part of this world, and this world, that is, with its business and its pleasures and its even its religion, all of its glory, this is done for. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, or literally, a new creation. You see, Christianity is not religion. There are many religions. Only one was ever given of God, and that was the Jewish religion. But religion could never save. Christianity is not a religion, I repeat. It is not concerned with externals. It's not concerned with marks and signs and all of these things. There are those who try to make a religion of it. But this is a faith in a person. And he said, we're not interested in these externals, even though they were divinely given in an old dispensation. The thing that really counts is a new creation. Now, I want to ask you, when were you created anew? Not when you joined church, or not when you got baptized, or when you decided to live a different life, but when did a new creation take place, so far as you were concerned? Well, if you received Christ as your Savior, honestly, sincerely trusted your soul to Him, we're told, if any man be in Christ Jesus, there is a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So the new creation puts us into the new family with new desires, with the new indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, as many as walk according to this rule. Has he laid down a rule here? Yes, he has. He has stated a fact, and the fact is that there is a new creation. And my rule of life should be not, is this forbidden or is that commanded, but does this belong to the new creation or does it belong to the old life? That's the rule of life for a Christian. Are you walking according to the new life and the new nature? Are you being led by the Spirit of God in this, or is this simply an act of the flesh? As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. And this is the only life of peace. The Lord Jesus said, if you will take my yoke upon you and learn of me, you will have peace, you will have rest, you will find rest to your soul. It is a most peaceful time in a Christian's life when he comes to realize that he now belongs to the Lord. There is a new creation. He is living a new life. This doesn't mean that he no longer will sin. There may be many relapses. But the thing is that he is no longer counting upon the flesh, and he is no longer trying to cudgel himself into line by means of the law. But not only is there peace to him, but there is mercy, for he will need continued mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Now the Israel of God, of course, would be the true Israel, and there is a true Israel, and God is yet going to restore Israel. But here he's simply speaking of all those who put their trust in the Lord. Those who genuinely believe God and accept God's salvation, they have this covenant relationship with God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. Now, when he demands that these Judaizers no longer trouble him, he is also stating that he will not allow himself to be troubled by them. Why not? Well, he said, I bear in my body the marks, literally the brands, it's the word from which we get our word stigma, I bear in my body the brand marks of the Lord Jesus. That is, the Apostle Paul had been persecuted, had suffered, had been stoned, had been beaten with rods, and all of these things had left their marks in his body. He said, I consider these the marks of the Lord Jesus. Not the mark of circumcision, not the mark of attachment to the law. That doesn't count anymore. The thing that really counts is that I am marked as belonging to the Lord. Now, soldiers and slaves and devotees of the various idol gods were branded with marks. Paul said, these brands were put upon me. These marked me as belonging to the Lord Jesus. Have you suffered any for the Lord Jesus, brother and sister? Well, perhaps not physically. There are scars of the heart as well as of the body. Maybe you have been brokenhearted over things that have been said about you and done to you. Well, wear these brands proudly. I mean in the sense of being glad that you can do so for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Notice that his human name is used here, not the name of Christ, just the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of the lowly one who suffered. What a privilege it is to suffer with him. A stigma of this kind is a blessed one. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Nothing said about personal salutations, as in the case of many other epistles. This is an epistle of rebuke. He wrote this letter to correct things that were not right, and he would not take the edge off it now by sending greetings to any individual. But he does send them this kindly word at the close. He calls them brethren. Because they were the children of God, he was concerned about them and wanted them to go on well for the Lord. And he wished for them the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is an epistle contrasting law and grace. And grace will always be needed. Every Christian needs continued grace. And grace is always available. For we are under grace and not under law. Dr. Bartlett calls this the quiet and lovely sunset at the close of a tempestuous day. This epistle is a stormy one. This epistle is one that is fraught with harsh words for those who teach false doctrines. Brother and sister, you must be most careful that you hear only the gospel of the grace of God and not a watered down or twisted gospel that puts you back under the law. May the Lord bless these thoughts to you and lead you on for himself. And if you haven't trusted Christ, take him as your Savior right now. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us. Encourage and lead on thy children and save the lost. We pray for the namesake of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer. No longer rang. Hush for the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow thank you.